Welcome to the Staying Gang podcast featuring head football coach Bill Maskell of Midwestern State. I'm Pete Stein. Glad you could be with us for another edition of the podcast. And Midwestern State coming off a bye week. And coach, I'm curious, what do you do on a Saturday in October when you don't have a game?
Well, I watch everybody else play. I've got a chance to watch a lot of football.
Yeah, I sat on my couch, watched a full day of football, but I got to admit, I kind of missed doing a game on Saturday. Saturdays are more fun when Midwestern's playing.
Yeah, and we enjoy that too. Watching all those games, I get mixed up on who did what because there's so many of them.
Yeah, I'm curious, do you watch the game as a fan or do you watch the game as a coach? And are you thinking about strategy or are you just watching the games unfold? When you watch a game, how do you go about just watching a game?
Well, a little bit of both. I took some notes on a couple games, and you try to. It's pretty hard to watch a game as a fan when you know that you can learn from watching who's ever playing and what they're doing, and you always wonder if you were in that position, or situation. How would you handle that situation? That's kind of how I look at it.
Are there particular coaches when you have a chance that you like to watch their teams play?
No. It's just, I watched a little bit of Oklahoma and TCU, I think, and I watched a little bit of LSU, Florida. Watched Ole Miss, I think, in Tennessee at night. There was another game in the afternoon, Texas. Who did Texas play?
Sounds like we spent our Saturday afternoons and Saturday nights just about the same way, Coach.
Yeah. So, it was at the end of the day, I was ready not to watch any more football.
There's no such thing as too much football, Coach. You mentioned that Tennessee game, and that game had a crazy ending where the fans got rambunctious and started throwing stuff. You ever been in that kind of environment before,
Coach? Yeah. I've been in that environment at Tennessee. Our first year at Vanderbilt, let's see if I get this correct. We were at Vanderbilt in 75, and we played them up there, and we beat them 17-14. And there wasn't 100,000 people there. I mean, their stadium was only like 90 at that time.
Only 90.
And full house, Thanksgiving weekend. But going from the field to the locker room, there was an area, a hallway in between. It was a temporary hallway, if you will. The best I can remember, once you got close to the locker room where the steps were, then they had chicken wire over the top of it so that the fans couldn't throw anything down on top of you.
It's a roadhouse situation.
But they still threw stuff on the field. I mean, they've been doing that forever.
I would have to guess that Tennessee fans weren't very happy that they lost to Vanderbilt.
Well, I was there 4 years and only beat them once. And then the second time I was there, we didn't beat them at all. I was there 5 years. They were 5-0, but we Peyton Manning, when he was the quarterback, we had a really good defense, and we played them even, but we couldn't do anything offensively. It was a low scoring game. They might be as 14-10 or something like that.
Well, you were the underdog then, and you're going to be the underdog this week when you go in to play Tarleton. What advice did you give your team during this bye week in preparation for Tarleton?
The bye week, we talked last week, didn't we, or no?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Yeah. We practiced Monday, Tuesday. Well, Monday we just went out and kind of sweat a little bit. And we practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and scrimmaged the younger kids on Thursday afternoon. Gave them Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. And came back to work on Monday, and we you know, I think the kids know they've got an opportunity. I think they know that we played them last spring, and they've got a lot of those guys still there and still starting on both sides of the ball. So our kids are a little bit familiar with who they are. I think we embrace playing the underdog role. It's been played on us forever. So, you know, I think we just got to go in and be able to play a better version of what we are and do it for four quarters.
Do you go back and watch that game from last spring? Is there anything that you can take out of that experience in the spring for this week's game?
Well, they're doing a lot of similar things and a lot of the same things on both sides of the ball. What I took out of it, this is old news, is that we were complacent to be close. And that bled into the next week, and then we got our butts beat the next week. And I saw it, and I allowed it to happen, so therefore I'm just a bigger part of it as the players.
But you can kind of understand the mentality, because 2 years ago in 2019, when we went to Stephenville, Midwestern got beat pretty bad. So to stay close with them did, at the time, it felt like a little bit of a moral victory.
Well, if you either win or you lose, there's moral victory doesn't help you. It certainly didn't help us the next week against the next team that we played. I think what it did is gave us a false sense of accomplishment, or a false sense of who we were. Now we're not that same team, so I don't see us being content with being close. You know, if we're able to stay close, then we need to be able to finish. They're as good a team as any of them we played, and maybe in some cases better. They got a good quarterback. They got two big receivers. They've got a huge offensive line. They got two transfer running backs. Defense, they've got a big old nose guard and a big D tackle. And then they've got some really quick, twitchy defensive ends.
Well, one of the reasons you were able to stay close with them, if my memory serves me right, I believe it was Colin Harrison returned a kick for a score in that game last spring. Do you feel like you have to make a play on special teams or maybe score on defense, which you've done this year, to kind of even the odds a little bit?
I think we just need to go out and play and not turn the ball over and be able to consistently be good on both sides of the ball in special teams. I mean, we didn't go into the game last spring thinking we were going to return the kickoff. You know, I think we got better in our fundamentals in the kickoff return last year. And I think that as we got to that game, we just happened to put them all together. And we hit a crease and kind of outran everybody. But it wasn't anything magical that we did. I think the big key is we just need to go in and play with confidence and trust in each other and with the idea that we can get better during this game.
Do you see your football team as a confident team? Do you see that in the guys?
Oh yeah, I think so. We're just based upon six games. You know, we've been behind in the five wins, and we've been able to overcome. And in the game that we actually got ahead, and we're ahead at halftime, Central Washington, we just didn't play as well as we're capable of playing, and we turned the ball over. And things just didn't materialize the way we anticipated materializing. But yeah, I think when you're able to come from behind like we have, and beat some really good football teams, I think that helps build your confidence.
It's not exactly the halfway mark of the season, but you have this bye week, and it basically is the halfway mark. How much reflection do you do on the past 6 weeks during this 2 week span between games, or are you simply moving forward?
Oh, I'll go forward. You know, I couldn't even tell you what we did against Eastern New Mexico. You know, I'd have to go back and watch the tape and then refresh my memory. But I mean, that was 3 weeks ago, and you know, since then we played Kingsville, and then we had an open date, and now we're into this. I think, you know, you remember certain things about certain games, and some of them are positive, some of them are negative. But until you go back and review the game plan entirely, the freshest that I am with the game is Sunday after the game when you watch it. Monday I chart it, and then when I present it to our team, basically after that meeting in the afternoon on Monday, I'm on to the next one, and we are as well, coaches and players.
Traditionally in college football, you would play two or three non-conference games to start the year, and then you'd be in conference play for the rest of the year. You're kind of weaving in and out of conference play. Does that affect your approach to these games at all? Does it matter to you at all that you're in and out of conference play?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think that this is at one point in time was a conference game, and this is where this game was played in 17 and 18. In 19, it was all the same weekend. And then I think we had an open date in 8, and that's when we went into overtime and got beaten. And oh, I think we missed an extra point in overtime, and they beat us by 1. But no, I think that this is the next game, and we're hungry to play another team. And this so happens it's Tarleton, 2.5 hours away, and they've won their share. We've won our share, and they've moved up a level, and we're still playing them. And you know, I think that our kids will be excited to play Tarleton down at their place for homecoming.
I think there are some Midwestern State alums who would look at Tarleton as the big rival during their time at Midwestern State. Do you still see this as a rivalry game?
Oh, well, because they've moved on, and to make it a rivalry game, it's got to be a competitive game. I mean, you know, Ohio State has beaten Michigan the last 5 years of Harbaugh's time there, and so you'd like to think that Ohio State is still a rivalry, but who's owning the rivalry? We haven't won since I think the 17 season. Now we should have won in 18 and 19. We know that we didn't play very well, and they hammered us. I think that they like to throw the deep ball, and we've been vulnerable to the deep ball. So our defensive backs are going to be challenged, and the quarterback gets the ball out quick, and he throws the fade ball well. And he's being coached by former Midwestern offensive coordinator, quarterback coach Adam Austin. So I know that the kid's been schooled well, and we respect who Tarleton is and what they've done, and the success that they've had within their program.
Has this bye week given your guys a chance to get healthy, particularly in that secondary? As you mentioned, they're going to be tested.
Well, we're not so injury prone in the secondary or beat up. Our pride's beat up more than anything else. I think, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the last radio show, but I think our defensive back as a whole really played fundamentally, technique-wise, a really good game against Kingsville. I mean, you could tell that they were locked in and focused by their footwork, by their assignments, by how hard they played. And I think that's kind of a mark of, you know, we've had six teams, and I think in six teams we've had really good effort. And I've always been a big believer, as long as you've got effort, you know, we can coach all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. Keep giving effort, and good things are going to happen.
Well, and we've certainly seen an effort out of that front line. You've been able to pressure quarterbacks, but I heard you a minute ago say the quarterback gets the ball out quick. You think you'll be able to put pressure on him, or what's your approach when you know that a quarterback gets the ball out fast?
Well, that's double-edged sword. They've got the quick game on the outside. They've got the vertical game on the outside. Their quick pass is the fade route. And they love to throw the fade. They love to throw the screens to the wide receivers. And they love to throw the stick routes on the outside. Then they've mixed it in with, or blended, I guess, with, throwing the various different screens that they throw and play action and the sprint out. So they've got, it appears to us that some of the things that they're doing new is a reflection of what Adam Austin was coaching when he was here, which is some of the things that we're doing. At the same time, they got big offensive line, and they love the double team. I mean, wherever they can get a double team on a zone, and at the same time when they're blocking down and around the counter game, or even the power game, somebody's going to get double teamed, and those would be their three favorite plays: the inside zone, the power game, and the counter game. And they do them all very well. And they get double teams. And the backs are small, quick guys, powerful guys. They hit that hole, and there's not a hole there or not, they make one. So going back to your question, how are we going to play? I think we've got to play what we've been playing and how we've been playing it, and find a way to be successful on the outside to them from throwing that fade ball as much as they like to throw it.
You run into these circumstances many times in your career where you're facing an opposing coach that was on your staff previously. He obviously knows you, but you know him. Do you feel like you have an advantage when you're facing a coach that was on your staff?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know. He's not calling the plays. We're playing. You know, if Adam was calling, Coach Austin was calling the plays, then we would have a better concept of what the offense is. But it's not his entire offense; it's Witten's offense, head coach, and for example, when Adam was here, our offensive line is not the same offensive line that they've got. They've got big, strong, physical, big dudes that are like 6'5" and 320. You know, we're 6'2" and 300, and probably run a little bit better, maybe more athletic. So therefore, you're going to play to the strength of those runners, and just like they play the strength of theirs, they're powerful, and so they're running the power, and they're running the zone, and getting themselves in position to double team. And we're here. We're not that way. Their backs are 230 pounds. Our backs are maybe 190 to 210. You know, we're not the same kind of back. We're more of a scat back. And they're more of a power, smaller back that's elusive. So I don't know that we're playing the coordinators and not a position coach. And
yeah.
Obviously, position coach, a lot of these kids that were still here when Coach Austin was here, he knows. He has an opinion about those particular players at those positions that are still here. And, I'm sure he's going to share that with both sides of the ball. I would, and I'm sure he
you mentioned the size difference that we're going to see Saturday, but we've seen that before. And you mentioned to me earlier this year, Coach, that even though you've been outsized, you feel like at the end of the game, in some of these instances, that it's their team, the big guys, that have gotten tired and allowed you to play well in the fourth quarter. Do you think that's a possibility in this game?
Well, I think that, you know, for us to do that, we've got to control the ball a little bit. You know, I mean, if we're 3 and out and they're 14 and out, well, then they're going to wear us out. So, you know, but I think we're in good shape. I think our team is, if that's what you're asking, is our team is, I think we're in good condition. It's going to be a little bit warmer, I think, on Saturday from what the weather people would say. And, you know, I think that that'll affect both teams if it's really, really hot. But you know, man for man, we're in good shape. So I think that, and I couldn't tell you what kind of shape they're in by watching them play because they play so many guys. Now after the game and we play them and whatever the results are, then I could tell you whether we were a better conditioned team than they were. But right now I wouldn't be able to, I have no foundation to be able to say yay or nay on that.
Given that you've had this extra time, do you put some new wrinkles in? Will you show Tarleton something that they haven't seen on tape?
Oh, I think every team in America, high school, junior college, pros, you watch the tape, you look at how they play a formation, how they block a play out of their personnel and formations, and then you look at your team and say, well, you know, what we're doing is going to apply to that, but there's something that we could add that might help. I think that's something that everybody does. I mean, we have wrinkles for every game, just like they do. And then I think once you get in the flow of the game, then you go to those plays that you practice during the week, whether they're ones that you've consistently been running or whether it may be a new play. But I'm sure, like, for example, they had, I was just watching that the other day, they had some wrinkles for Dixie State that they hadn't necessarily shown all those things. Well, and they had an open date, I think, before they played Dixie. So, everybody does it, and so we're no different than anybody else. And you know, we're going to concentrate on getting better at what we do. And if we do put in a wrinkle, then we've got to practice it. It's got to be successful in practice, and then we got to run it. Not all the time do you put plays in. Do you always run them? We just eliminated a play last night that we've been running for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I just didn't think it was worth it to practice it for the bang that we're going to get out of it. And so we put it on the shelf for this week. And I think that's a natural game planning process on both sides of the ball and in your kicking game. When you do things based upon what you think you can do well and then attack what they do and add or delete as necessary.
Now, I know Bill Walsh and many coaches since him, it was always said that he scripted the first 15 plays. Do you have a script that you go into a game with?
Mm-hmm. Those plays are scripted. I think everybody has that. And a lot of times that those plays are designed to give a lot of different formations and motions and shifts. And I'm talking in general. I'm not necessarily talking about Midwestern, but
right.
The philosophy behind those plays is to see how they adjust to what you're doing. And then those are only on normal down situations. So your first down is a normal down. Your second and five or six, but if it's second and 11, you wouldn't go to that second play on your list. You would go to your first play on your pass list. By down and distance and field position. So as you move the field, not always is the front and coverage going to stay the same. Yeah, I mean, we look at all that stuff and try to game plan based upon what we do. And we do script the first, I think, 10 plays, maybe 15. But they're only on normal down situations. You get down third and one, you know, third and five, or third and eight. Those are all different calls.
And I'm also assuming if you hit on a big play and then all of a sudden you're in the red zone, that changes the script as well.
No question. Because the red zone, you know, there's not as much room down there. We have a specific script for the entire red zone.
Well, and whatever the script is, it seems like it's working really well for you. You've really capitalized when you've been in the red zone this year. What leads to that success?
No, I think a lot of that is we practice it like we practice today. We practice every Tuesday, and this week it's been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we practice 7-on-7 in the red zone every day. We are not experimenting with a play down there. We're, you know, running what we think is our bread and butter. And if you run that bread and butter over and over and over, whether it be a pass or a run, you're pretty good at it. Regardless of who you're playing. And I think that's been a factor. And we haven't always done the same thing, you know, whether it's inside zone or outside zone.
I had asked you last week about the Permian Basin Angelo State game and got the result, at least that some of us wanted. We saw Permian Basin lose. So when you look at the conference standings, and I realize this isn't a conference game this week, but you're alone, and Midwestern State now controls its own fate. That's got to be a great position to be in.
Well, we do. We've got to play Tarleton this weekend, and we're going down there with the idea that hey, this is a big game for us. Just like the next, like last week was a big game. You know, I mean, there haven't been any easy games for us, or any games that haven't been a big game. This is the next one, and we're only guaranteed so many. And just so it happens to be a, you know, team that's been in our league and closer in distance than most.
That does make football unique. You do have the limited number of games, and almost every week is a season unto itself, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And you know, the process of getting prepared is the same. I mean, we do the same thing on Sunday that we did this past Sunday, that with the exception of not having a game. And we'll do it again this next Sunday and for the next however long we're going to be playing. And same thing on Monday. Now, Monday of this week, we went out during the afternoon on Monday as opposed to Monday night. But we'll go back next week after the game on Saturday, and we'll go back out to a Monday night practice. The reason we went out, we were, you know, we had practiced 3 days last week, and I didn't think there was any reason to wait till 7 o'clock at night to go out and practice when we had already practiced on them for 3 days. We could do that, what we're going to do Monday in the afternoon, and not have to wait till the evening to go out.
Well, we're hoping you're in a really good mood Sunday. We're looking forward to seeing you in Stephenville. It should be fun. Midwestern State and Tarleton, hoping for a good result. Coach, as always, appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Okay, we'll see you Saturday, and we'll talk to you after the game. That's Bill Maskell, the head football coach at Midwestern State, and you've been listening to the Staying Gang Podcast.